Well, good morning. It's really good to be here. And I really don't feel like a visitor either, Jerry. I look across here and see y'all, familiar faces, and I feel right at home here this morning. So, yeah, it's good to be here. I was going to come a month ago. I was planning on coming. We just decided on a Saturday afternoon. Then, no, not Saturday afternoon, that week before, I decided Monday or Tuesday afternoon, I was told Loretta, we're going to go to Abundant Life Sunday. Then on Thursday or Friday, I found out that Melvin is coming preaching there at Allen County, so it didn't work out. So anyway, my heart was here with you all many times as we met there on a Sunday morning, and you look around. You know, we're very creatures of habit. I mean, Marla had a seat there at Allen County, and Jerry had a seat, and I could tell if I want to know if someone was there, you can look, and you look right where they normally sit. And, nope, they're not here today. And often I look around, seats are empty, and it's like, yeah, so praise the Lord. Yeah, well, I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. A name that is far above any other name, right? Jesus Christ. I appreciate what was shared this morning here, Dwayne, as he was sharing about how the moon or the sun stood still. What would we think? We'd go out some night and get a chair, and we're waiting for the sun to set. We're going to watch the sunset, and it just stays there. It's like 10 hours pass, and it's still there. 24 hours later, and still there in the same spot. What would we think? I wonder what the people thought, right? I mean, I don't know what they thought, but I'm sure they had a lot run through their minds. The sun just stood right there, I think, for a day, I think, right? Is it 24 hours? Something like that? That stood still? But yeah, and God did it for his people. And if he'll do that for his people, why do we marvel sometimes at things that he does for us? God is a merciful, loving God. He's for us. He's not against us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to make it. He's for us. Also, thank you, Brother Mark, as well. The Rise Up, Old Men of God. And that's going to go somewhat with what I have to share today there. And he talked about all the children that are without fathers. We do a lot of jail ministry, prison ministry over the years. We haven't much lately since COVID, but we still do some. As you sit down and you talk, you get heart to heart with these men, and you start talking with them, you just try to sort of figure out what went wrong in their life, or when it went wrong and all that. And most of them will say, when I was young, daddy left the home, or daddy got incarcerated, or daddy got put in prison. They grew up without a father. And so we see the statistics there of children that coming out of homes without fathers in a home. I don't know what percent that is of them ending right back up in prison themselves later on. So fathers, we have a great responsibility as in our homes today. And that's what I want to share on a little bit, a message on God needs faithful men. When I say faithful men, it's men and women as well. I mean mankind. God needs faithful mankind. But yet at the same time, he doesn't need any one of you in here. Any one of you in here decide not to be faithful, God will find someone else. He needs faithful men. Why not let it be you, right? Why not let it be us? Be faithful. When I talk about faithful, as you see, I'll go through here, and I'll talk about faithfulness, just being faithful to God in his word, faithful in our marriages. Faithful in sharing the gospel, just being faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as I go through here, as I shared before, a lot of times these messages that I preach comes from a burden in my own heart that I need, a need in my own heart. And so this is where it comes from, a need in my own heart, and it's a burden that I have for churches as well. Because churches without a burden for lost souls of man or for the men around them, they don't do well. What happens is, all of a sudden, they're looking within the church, and they're pointing out all the needs within instead of seeing the needs of the lost souls outside. So So if you bear with me here, I'll have a word of prayer, and I'm going to share what God laid in my heart. So, and a lot of times when I share, I know that there's some will take it that I am, they take it as as I'm pointing fingers, and I'm not. I don't mean to make this upset you. If it does, it's just a message on my heart here that God laid in my heart. So I trust that as we get done, that you be encouraged or inspired to continue on serving all the days of our life. Because we're in a dark, perverse, wicked world, and they need men of God. They need faithful men. If ever, it's today. Faithful men making a difference. So let's pray. Eternal Father, as we do bow here this morning, I thank you, Lord, for this little congregation here, Lord, for the faithfulness that's been here in them, these brothers, Lord, throughout the years. Thank you, God, that you called them out. You brought them out of the miry clay and set their feet upon the rock. And just pray, Lord, that you continue blessing this little congregation. Bless them, Lord, in a mighty way. So, Lord, I just pray that you would have your way with me here this morning, Lord, as I share a message that you would just give me boldness, but you would do the speaking, Lord. The Spirit of God would speak, not my thoughts, but it'd be from you, Lord. So I just want to say thank you, love you, and just commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why does God need men, faithful men? And the question I put on here, when he could have the rocks in the mountains, you know, he can have them to call out to him. Why does he desire men to be faithful? Why does he desire men to use men to enlarge the kingdom of God? We know why. He created mankind. It was intended to bring honor and glory to him, first of all. He created mankind with choice. He created us with a living choice, and that's what brings honor and glory to God. If my wife would just love me because the Bible says that she has to, we know that the marriage wouldn't be very, very good. But it's relationships that makes a marriage sweet. And it's the same way with God. What makes it sweet with God is when we got a pure or true, honest relationship with God, a reverent relationship, and we love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. God's primary strategy for advancing his kingdom is not complicated, as I wrote down. It's a radical multiplication of faithful disciples throughout scriptures that advances his kingdom. Faithful disciples throughout the scriptures. The Lord seeks reliable, teachable men to anchor his church, to stand firm in his truth, to pass the gospel baton to the next generation. Faithful men. That's who he counts on in this time to enhance his kingdom of God. Advance, I should say. So let's turn my text. I'm going to take out of 2 Timothy 2, starting on verse 1. I'm just going to read the first 13 verses, but my text comes from verse 2 there. 2 Timothy 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also." And that's where part of my text comes from, the burden, that we have faithful men that are able also to teach others, to encourage others, to admonish others, to help bring them to the kingdom of God. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ," and a faithful servant, as we'll see here as we go, who will remain faithful no matter what the circumstances he's in. As I'll share a little bit from some of these Old Testament saints that were faithful through some trials. But a faithful God. A God is looking for a faithful man no matter what circumstance he's in. He's in a little 10 by 10 or a little 4 by 4 dungeon. Dark, no windows, with rats. And he, with God, he expects us to remain faithful in circumstances like that. That is what God is after. Men that at no cost, all costs, will serve him. Then it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life." So a faithful man will not get caught up in the things of this life, the affairs, whatever it may be, entertainment, may be the riches or the snares of pleasure, whatever it may be. It says that he may please himself who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be a first partaker of the fruits. He needs to be born again. He needs to have the Spirit of God within him so he can be a partaker. Consider that I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David has raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So as we go back to verse 2, I'm going to read that again, and then I'll begin my message here. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So as we look around us here, we see there's much need. As I share a little bit today, that Steve and Marie and Jesse and Sloma, they're in Canada, and that little group there, the Orthodox Mennonite Church, that called out and asked Steve that they would come out and help them. They want help. There's a little group there that very primitive. They are without. I mean, they're living in little houses without any running water, no electricity, no outhouses, and they don't even have an outhouse outside. But they love the Lord Jesus. They found the Lord, and for some time there, when they came and they found the truth, they honestly thought that they were the only little group that was serving the Lord. They didn't know of any other group around them or anywhere that actually took the Bible for what it says, until they started finding. They went up north to David Clausen's, then they found Henry Clausen, then they found St. John's, and they're like, okay, there are more people. But for a long time, they just thought they were the only little group. So there's much need. Then we got the group there in Crofton. Then there's a group there in Illinois where Burn are going out to help, that are wanting help. Then Shelbyville are going to Pennsylvania. And it's on and on. There are much needs. So the need of faithful men that are able to be able to teach and to preach and encourage and to help others along in the Christian life. So this is a message. A trust that will inspire us to continue on in this life. So I see 2 Timothy 2 there, as I read through that. I see steadfastness over success here in this first 13 verses I read there. It's someone that is willing to be a servant for the kingdom of God. True strength in God's kingdom is measured by humility. It means being willing to do the unseen work, whether that discipling a neighbor, serving at a local rescue mission or a hospital. As it says there in Matthew 20:26, it says, if you want to be great among you, someone wants to be great among you, just serve. Just be a servant. Just be a willing servant. So throughout the scriptures here, when we think of some Old Testament faithful men, I know that what pops in your mind. I know many of these here pop up. But let's look at a few. I'm going to speak a little bit on one and just touch on a few other ones. But the first one that I want to speak on there that always blesses me is Joseph. I say he was one of the greatest examples in the Bible where you will find faithfulness. When Joseph was mistreated with his brothers and sold into slavery, and he faithfully served. He was cast into prison. He faithfully served. And he was misused, and he faithfully served. So let's just turn to Genesis 39 and read a little bit there on Joseph's life to help inspire us through trials and tribulations. And my heart does. I was able to talk to James there the other day at the Allen County Jail, and that's what I encouraged him. And I know this is the trial, but this is your opportunity to dig deeper with God and just serve. Wherever you're at, you're in here, just serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what circumstances we can be in, that's not limited how we can serve God. So Genesis 39,
Yeah, I'm sorry, in wrong chapter. We see the life of Joseph here. Verse 39, chapter 39, verse 1, and it says, Joseph were brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, brought him to the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down to thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master of Egyptian. And remember, all this right here, he was bought as a slave, and he used as a slave. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made all of him overseer over his house, and that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. We see the faithfulness of Joseph, just serving God. Joseph knew who God was. He just served God. Whatever circumstance he was at, them are the faithful men that God are happening. We see today trials come, tribulations come, and men just bolt. Say the Christian life is too hard. It's not worth it. It is. It'll be rewarding someday, and we hear those words, well done. But he wants us to remain faithful. As we see Joseph here, it says that he even blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. He blessed the house that where Joseph was staying at there, and blessed for the Lord. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and he's well favored. Then we know here, the next part here, we see that Joseph just served here, even in slavery, even in bonds. Joseph served. Then we see here how it come to pass as Potiphar's wife put his eye on Joseph and tried to seduce him. And it says there, Joseph, now remember, children, I don't know how old Joseph was here at this point here, but when he was sold into slavery and when he started serving, he wasn't much more from 12 to 16 years old, if I understand right. He was a young boy. So you don't have to wait to be 20 to 30 to serve God and be faithful. Because there's many other circumstances throughout the scripture. Jesus was 12 years old, and he served his father. He served people. So being a servant to God starts young. You can be 10, 11, 12 just to serve, be faithful. But we see what happened here, and when she said, "Will you lie with me?" and he said, "I cannot." He says, "How can I do this great wicked thing and sin against God?" And it came to pass as they spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her to lie. And we know what happened there as he went on, that she would not give in. And finally, they met at the doorway, and she grabbed a hold of him, and he fled and had part of his garment. And then he got put back into prison again. He got cast back in this little dark dungeon. So what did he do in this little dungeon? Did he sulk? Did he question God? Why God? He might have said, "Why God?" I don't know. But it says here in the next, you read throughout here in the next few chapters, and when he come out, he continued to serve. He was a faithful servant of God. And God was able to use him in a mighty way throughout the years. And God is expecting that as well from us. And as I read this account, it really inspires me in a great way. Joseph finally says he finally got out of slavery. There, and Potiphar started using him in a great way. Then false accusations from Potiphar's wife cast him back in the prison. But Joseph continued to serve because he had a healthy fear of God. And that helps us. Having a healthy fear of God. And how does that come about? A healthy fear of God. That is to know God in a personal way. In a sweet relationship. So my encouragement to us all here today is to have a healthy fear of God as Joseph did. And that just don't naturally happen. It takes a surrendering of our will for the will of God, so that God could do a perfect work in us through us as he did with Joseph. I can see Joseph saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I can see that through his life. And Lord, what do you want me to say? I'll just do it. Where do you want me to go, God? I'll go. Not Lord, but he was saying, yes, God, where do you want me to go? And there's great blessings, though, in just being faithful. When you look at Joseph's life, he blessed him in a great way. And we can say that it's well, that it's he will, when we engage in the kingdom of God, it's a rewarding life. As we've seen that in Joseph's life. But that's not the true reason why we just engage in the kingdom work so we can be blessed, but for the souls of men. And as I think of that, just being faithful, men there, and it comes from having a burden for lost souls, a burden, even like a burden for lost souls. And I know I shared on this before. How does that come about? As I was sitting there pondering about my life there, do I have the proper burden for the souls of men? And I was just reflecting back on the last few months of my life there. And I wrote, you know, are we about our Father's business? And I was reflecting back all the days that I went to work in the last 3 months. And I was pondering, okay, how many days did I actually set aside, take off, and do and work for the kingdom of God? Or just go take a day and go pass out tracts. Take a day and just go preach the gospel. Which I know that we do that throughout the day. We rub shoulders with people. I trust that we're doing that. But I think it's a little out of balance in our lives. I wonder what God thinks. But anyway, in the last 30 days, I think it was 2 days that I took off. And I actually just went and did something all day long. Just it's either passing out tracts or the other day went to the jail. And I say this, it's probably a little out of balance. 30 days of working, 2 days for God, which we, you know, I'm just paraphrasing this here. I trust that it's throughout the day. But anyway, then we go 60 days and four days, 90 days, or 90 and 4 days. It just doesn't seem quite balanced. The time that we spent engaging on our money, yes, we need to survive. We got bills to pay. We got things to do, but it just seems like that we were a little out of balance there. I should say I am. I seem like I'm a little out of balance. So God needs faithful men. Are we about the Father's business? God uses faithful men to achieve His purpose on earth. They, or we, serve as His primary agents to guard the truth, to lead families, pass His message on to the next generation, to pass that baton on, so that the kingdom can grow and flourish. Are we being faithful in our daily walk? So just even in our daily walk, okay, maybe we don't take a day off, but are we faithful in that day that we go to work and God lays on our heart to just to share something? And trust me, I'm not talking about a work-based thing here, because God gives us burdens. I trust if we don't have a burden for souls in our heart, well, I won't apologize for that. For this right here, if we don't have a burden for the souls around us, then there's probably something lacking in our life. I can say that because He pulled us out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon the rock. He just pulled us out. He didn't just pull us out so that we could go to heaven and be with Him someday. And that's part of it. Yes. But it's far more than that. He entrusted us, the Spirit of God within us, to help enlarge, advance the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm touching on here. Are we being faithful in that area of life? I know the word I was looking for earlier. I trust that I'm not casting condemnation on anyone here, because there's some maybe that need to work. But there are many ways to help advance the kingdom of God. Even if we're going to work, because we rub shoulders with many people. So let's continue being faithful. God needs faithful men in this dark, perverse nation. As we were at the jail the other day, it was a blessing. We don't do it enough. I enjoy that kind of work there. And men that just are hurting, that are asking for prayers, and that are telling us just to don't forget to pray for them next week. That this. One just said that he just got sentenced yesterday, and he said, I got 56 years. He said, pray for me, because I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. And you're just weeping. So also we think of Abraham. I'm just going to touch a few of these on here, then I'll move on from this here. But there's four of them. Abraham, then I thought of David, then Daniel, just a little bit. Then we think of Abraham. He was often considered the ultimate example of faith in the Bible. Faithful Abraham, as he was entrusted with his sheep and his goats and his camels and all that. He was just faithful to God. When he was always communing with God, he had a relationship with God, even through his daily activities of work. He trusted God's promise to make him a great nation. He trusted that. And we know that he was into his 90s. Yet, then he was still wondering, okay, God, you know, you promised that I was going to have a sea sand or the stars of the heavens, and here I am, 90, and my wife's 90-some, but yet he still trusted his life into God. Then finally, he had a son, Isaac, and we've seen that, and God told him, Abraham, take thy son and go offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham, I don't know what his thoughts were, but Abraham trusted God. He was a faithful man. It says in the scriptures, it just says that he saddled up his donkey, and he gathered some firewood, and up he went. If we're not willingly communing with God, we're going to struggle at that points of our life. And we come to those points in this life many times. We come to crossroads, and things like that are hard. But if we have this communing relationship with God, the Spirit of God dwelling within us, it'll be much easier. It'll be like Abraham. He got up the next morning. I don't know, maybe the next morning, he saddled up his ass. He got Isaac, and away he went. He took his sword, whatever it was, and he went up. And I'm pretty sure on the way up, he's probably thinking about some of this stuff. But Lord, how's this going to work out as you promised? But I don't know. I know that I talked to Brother Mendel a couple weeks ago, and Mendel thought he would have shared that he's sure that Abraham knew he was going to come back down with Isaac, and that could have easily been too. I don't know. But did he really know that? I don't know. But he just said he just went and got the wood and the things that were needed, and he took Isaac, and away they went. Then we have Moses as he stepped out of his comfort zone there in Israel, as God told him to go into Egypt, and the same thing there. But God, don't you know that they were after my life? They were after me. They were gonna kill me. As he was in there for many years, as he killed an Egyptian, and they were after him. So we see that for 40 years, he was wandering through the wilderness there, carefully following God's instructions. And these are Old Testament men that faithfully followed God. And we have today, we are born of the Spirit of God. And we have, like I shared before, I don't know what for the Holy Spirit within these men or not, but they faithfully served God. And today we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. We got Jesus within us. How much easier it should be for us to remain faithful. And God expects us as well to remain faithful as we journey through this land. And he did. For 40 years, he just faithfully served God. Then, I guess I have five. Then I got David here. Even though he made early some mistakes in his life as well, but David was known for his faith that was evident and his courage against the giants like Goliath and his deep repentance and reliance on God's mercy. And we see that David stumbled there, but yes, he got up, and David's lineage was down through the lineage of Jesus, his faithfulness that made a difference. And Daniel, known for his unwavering obedience, this is the last one. He was rather to be thrown into the lion's den to compromise his faith. Sometimes what men will do to just get out of a little sequence of something that's going to be a little too hard for him, how they sometimes will maybe not be truthful. Maybe they will compromise just to save their hide or their reputation here on this earth. But here, Daniel, he knew that if he continued to choose to get up and open that window and pray to God, that he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. But he's like, I'm going to do it. a faithful man. Can we remain faithful in this land, in this time where there's a great need of people around us? Let's not compromise just because of some benefits that'll benefit us. But let's seek the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So as I wrote here, what set these men apart? As I talked about. Talked about Joseph, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, and some of them, and David. What sets these men apart? Old Testament. As I think of men of faith, there were many more that I could have spoke on. But it was men that didn't waver through trials and tribulations and through even death threats and all that, because they knew God. They knew who God was. Even though they had daily, because they trusted in God more than anything else in this life. That's what set them apart. They trusted in God more than their daily activities, their daily things that are around us, earthly materialism that they had. They didn't let things around them distract them. I feel that that was set them apart. As you read the history, as I went through and just read some of those stories of their accounts there again, it was refreshing to know that their lives was committed to God more than anything else. They were known as faithful men, as you can read there in Hebrews 11. All of them are mentioned there in Hebrews 11 there. Even though they had their daily jobs, they put God first in their lives, as it says there in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things should be added unto you. And that's what they did. They sought God in that way. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Then Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now back to the text there. God needs faithful men and women. Why? As I shared there earlier, we're in a dark time. People are seeking answers. They're seeking ways to go to get out of their misery that they're in. You know, at times at night, throughout the summer, I'll go out back in my patio and I'll just gaze up. But most times when the moon's out, that's where my gaze goes to, is to the moon. And I'll just sit there and just study the moon, because it's the biggest thing in the orbit there, and it's bright. It's the brightest thing, and that's why God needs faithful men. There needs to be a light for men that are seeking and searching. They need to be able to see a church, a body here, a body at Allen County, a body at Concord, a body at Bern. He wants these things to shine bright. So when people are looking, when they're gazing, they gaze into it so they can see. This way they can find what they're looking for, because there's a bright light and it's shining bright and it is being faithful. And it will draw men to that bright spot. As I go outside and I look into the heavens and the bright moon, it catches my gaze. And that's the way it should be with men, because God says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to the Father. And like in my life there for many years, when I was seeking something different, that's who I set a gaze upon. I remember going down to Kentucky. I don't know how we went there. My wife wanted to go down and visit her cousin and went down there. And all weekend, I just set my gaze upon Willard. I want to know what was different about him. What does he have that I don't got? And I could see at that time there, this goes back 25 years ago, there was something different about him. There was a light in his eye and a spring in his step, and there was a joy in his heart. God needs churches that are burning that way. As it says there in Matthew 5 there, says, if ye the salt of the earth, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savior, wherewith should it be salted? If the church of Jesus Christ lose the light, how are people going to see the light, find the light? How are they going to know? Where are they going to find answers? God uses the church. He uses faithful men. The church here is not the church what makes faithful men, but faithful men who makes the church, right? It's faithful men that makes the church of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the little congregation burn light. As I was pondering on that, because I know that you, most of you have been there at the Allen County there, and we've gone through them struggles there in 15, 16, 17. That light there at the church got pretty dim. It was not shining bright. And that's interesting. In those 4 years, 4 or 5 years, somehow there's one family that found its way over there in those 5 years. That light was not shining bright, and people were seeing that there wasn't a true light. It was a dim light. And people are not looking for dim lights. They're looking for a body that is on fire. They're looking for a body that there's faithful men that love the Lord, and they can see that they're excited. They have the Spirit of God within them. But that's what they're looking for. People are looking for. And as I shared about our community there, in our community there as well, they are. It's exciting what's happening. I mean, they're calling in on the phone lines on Sunday mornings, and they are having prayer meetings there throughout the community. They're gathering to read their Bibles on a Saturday morning. They're having Bible studies or prayer meetings and Bible studies throughout the week. It's a blessing to see that sparks are being fueled to life. And I believe that it was a church there at Allen County for the last 20 years. That's where that life was coming from. So it's just my encouragement here. There's a lot of people around here. There's a lot of Mennonites, and a lot of them, there's some cousins that Marlon have here that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this little church burns light, and you testify, and if they see that there's life in here, they'll come. Faithful men. God uses faithful men to draw men unto Him. Well, that's what set those four men apart. They love God more than anything else in this life, even though they had things that they had to do throughout the day. But they had a relationship with God. Matthew 6 here, verses 19-34. It says, "Lay up not yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And what does that look like? These two verses are contradicting. I mean, they're opposite of each other, not contradicting, opposite. One, it says, lay not up for yourselves on things in this earth. Whatever we do, the selfish ambitions and the selfishness that we have, if we are gathering out in a selfish way, it says that the thieves will break through and steal. But if we lay up ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and the thieves do break through nor steal. They cannot. It will. It's quite opposite, those two verses. So that is where God needs faithful men, that we, our treasures are being laid up in heaven, not on things of this life. I believe that it's one of the greatest hindrances to a faithful man is when he gets sidetracked or distracted, and he starts accumulating wealth, accumulating lands, accumulating treasures on earth. I believe that's one thing that starts separating a man that's been faithful. That will draw his heart away, because 21 says, "For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also." And that verse does not lie. If we set our heart on something on this earth, it will draw our heart away from the kingdom of God, and the faithfulness of man will be tested. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And we see that there was definitely a lot of dark, more darkness than light. There was many years there at Allen County, and it affected the community in a way there for many years. Then verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and serve and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." God's word. It's Jesus' words. We cannot have our heart attached to the things of this life and expect to be a faithful disciple here in life, on this earth. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor let your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Why are you not? Why are you much better than they? Just promises. Just as being faithful men, being faithful men there, women. Just being able to trust God in that way. Sometimes we, in my life, I get caught up and I think of the future. What's going to happen when I get my at the age of 75, 80? I ponder that sometimes. I'm not able to work. How am I going to provide? What's that going to look like? But here, the promises of Jesus. He says, don't worry about that. I mean, my dad, he grew up and he didn't have any money. He worked by the hour most of his life, and he worked cheap by the hour. And when he got to the age, I think it was beautiful just to see him just learn. I've seen that he just trusted. I can say he trusted God. He had a joy in his life, and God took care of him. I don't know, as I see that, and that's what the Word here is teaching us as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow has its own things, but take today and be faithful today. Tomorrow have its own challenges. It says, "What of you by taking thought can add one cubic into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, all ye little faith? Promise of Jesus. With that said, sometimes, you know, we're working. I remember years ago where this verse here helped me make a choice in my life. It was during the winter, and the winter time is the slowest months of the year. And Jennifer, she wanted to go to China. I'm like, 3 weeks? I said, I don't know. What's that going to look like? I said, you know, be off 3 weeks of the work and all that. And I remember reading some of these verses through that time. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, he will take care of you, oh, you little faith. And I know there's many times, yeah, we have jobs, we have responsibilities, we have commitments that needs to be done, not every time. But so sometimes when it comes out to go to do a day like Friday there's many that, you know, that just feel that they can't take a day off. And I want to challenge you on that. If we got 30 days in a month, surely we can just take one day. And be faithful in that. It's not salvation in that, but there's blessings in that. Taking a day off, a whole day, and just go do things for the kingdom of God. But that 3 weeks there that I took and went to China, I can say I'm glad I went after I got there. But it was a challenge on that 15-hour ride there. If I could have got off and back home in that them 17 hours, I probably would have. But there was a blessing just gone and spent in those 3 weeks. Away from work, away from all of the responsibilities, and just working in the kingdom of God 24 hours a day. There's blessings in that, which we did that in Haiti many years as well, many of us brothers here. So just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he said, I promise you, I'll take care of you. I mean, we got too many brothers for any brother to go hungry from just doing things for the kingdom of God. And thinking that they won't have funds or food or whatever. It says, then take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow it shall itself, for the king, for the things of itself. Let me read that again. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So as I shared, my message was on messages on being faithful in the marriage, being faithful with God, just serving God, and be faithful and sharing the gospel. So that's part of that there. Just being faithful men, and just taking time and enhancing the kingdom of God. The beautiful verses there, and the beautiful thing is God cannot lie. God never changes. The faithfulness of God, he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Same today, yesterday, and forever. Let's turn to Timothy 2 there again, read some verses there, just some 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 12 there. Exhortation to endurance. Faithful men, that we would continue seeking God, even in our spiritual life, that we would continue endure until the end. Wherefore, I put thee up in remembrance, verse 6 in chapter 1 there, 2 Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on thy hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of his afflictions, of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and he called us with a holy calling, according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This was the purpose of God here, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we see this verse. There's a purpose in that he pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock to be faithful in him, serving him. But it now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. And as Paul says here, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Beautiful verse there, that the word of God promises that what we commit to him, he's able to keep, because he cannot lie, he will not change his mind. It's the unfaithfulness of man that walk away from God. You hear so many cases of people that were in churches that love the Lord, that were on fire for the kingdom of God, and they get bitter and they walk away. It's not because that God changes mind. It's because his lack of faith, or his faithfulness to God. May we reach forth our hand to Jesus, as the song says, "Safe in the hands of Jesus." And I remember when we were little children. I remember that as I was walking with in our family there, and little children, being a little child there, severe storms would blow and lightning and thunder and all that stuff, and I'd be fearful. But if I'd go down and sit beside my dad and just sit there, it would calm and comfort my little heart. Well, the storms are blowing again. They're blowing. The wickedness of this that's around us. How much, again, today God needs us faithful men. But this time, Jesus doesn't expect us to just sit there and hold his hand. Yes, he wants us to stay near. But he wants to equip us with a message of hope, like the great invitation that says there in Matthew 11 there. He wants to equip us that we can go forth in these storms that are blowing, and the clouds that are rolling in, the times, at the end times. People are becoming... There's many people who have a lot of questions, but here he wants to equip us with that great invitation that says there in Matthew 11, as it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God equip us with a message like this into this perverse, wicked nation, those that are wanting something different. "Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that is a trust that that's what he wants to equip us with, to take that message to the fearful and unbelieving around us. And we know it's hard. It's hard for God to use someone that is still involved in maybe some small sins. I'll say small sins or struggles with surrendering all. God is not able. He's not able to use people like that. So if there's things in our lives that are hindering us from being that perfect disciple of Jesus Christ, let's deal with it. So God can have his perfect way with us. God needs more Pauls. I just think of Paul there. As many years he fought against God, but when God finally wrenched his heart, which he did, every one of us in here, as we see Paul laying on the ground there, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go?" needs more. He needs men that are willing to do with all expense to work in the kingdom of God. And it says there in Ephesians 6 there, as Paul says there, 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren," I know that he wants to equip us. He wants to put on the whole armor of God. I'll read some of that. "In this perverse, wicked time that we're in, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that verse there always blesses me. When we come to a disagreement, when there's some brothers sometimes that are disputing, just remember, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's from the devil. So keep that in mind. It seems like it's settled much easier when we keep that in mind. We're fighting against flesh and blood. I mean, not flesh and blood, but against spiritual battles. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness." And he goes on and says about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. "And above all things, the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." Just being equipped for the kingdom of God, being equipped from God, being in God, having the Spirit of God fully maneuvering through us, in us, just being open to God. "As being faithful men, we will engage in the fairs through this life." We'll engage in fairs. There'll be times that we'll wonder how we're going to get through that. "But greater is he that is in us than the one that's in this world." We can overcome anything that Satan puts our way. As we fight against this spiritual, against the rulers and the darkness of this world, as we fight against that, remember, greater is he that is within us. If we have the Holy Spirit within us, we can overcome any fiery darts. "We will go through fires, but that would just refine us. We will face false accusations, but God is for us. If God is for us, who's against us?" God needs faithful men. A church or a body that's shining bright so that unbelievers can find their way. Not put the candle under the bushel, but put it on the candlestick. Many people say, as I worked with certain people, work with them for many days, and finally I start sharing, just sharing the gospel with them, and they say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian too." But the 3 days that I didn't mention anything to him, there was all kinds of things coming out of his mouth that was not pointing to a surrendered life. So I shared, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian too." Not putting our candle under the bushel, but letting it shine so that the believers around us, they can see. So that they know where to find help when they want help. The church, there should be, in the church of Jesus Christ, the disciples of Jesus, there should be a great distinction between the church and the world. There should not be any resemblance of the world in the church. To confuse the people that are in the world. If they see worldliness in the church, they're going to be like, "Well, they got what I have." And I know sometimes, and I'm not just pointing on clothing. I'm just saying about our actions and the work, our responsibility, how we relate to them, some of that. There needs to be a great distinction. There needs to be a spirit coming from the church that there's a great drawing effect to those that are wanting something different. That's what my whole heart here was behind this message here today. Nothing else, no condemnation or anything, but there needs to be a complete surrendered heart so that people around us can see that they're different. They have the love of Jesus. They have what I'm missing. As I shared there, with Alan there, Allen County there for many years. Many of you were there. There wasn't no light coming. There wasn't any drawing effect for anybody. It's because they couldn't see the light. So let's not let the snares, cares of this life, riches, choke out Jesus Christ. God needs faithful men and women to help advance the kingdom of God. So that's all I have. And I just want to just say, as I prepared this message, there's probably a need in my life as well that I would engage more. Sometimes, there's sometimes a week will go by, and I get in a job that's so distressing that I rub shoulders with many people that week, but sometimes I don't even open my mouth. I don't even share because I get caught up, distracted from the things that I'm around. So my message here is that we would go forth, we would be faithful men, we would serve where people could see this, the Church of Jesus Christ, a little one here in Ashley, a little one in Allen County, a one in Burn, but there in Shelbyville, that these little churches would be bright enough where people can see that they have what I need, and they would come and find the peace of God that which we all found here, the love of God that we have, that we can, So Jesus says, "He that endureth until the end shall be saved," and I just trust that we would continue on someday. Mine might end today. It might be 20 years. We're not guaranteed how long we're living, but the important thing is that when we take our last breath, that we're ready to meet the Lord. So God bless you. I just want to say it was a blessing to be here with you all today.